But I don't want to beat up my friends.
No, that's reassuring, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in case I have the temerity to ever ask you to meet up for coffee.
I hunt you.
That's exactly. When I'm interested, I love a bit of detail. When I'm not interested, it feels either boring or it feels scary because I don't feel equipped.
I'm very attuned to waiting for that slightly sick feeling to come after making decisions.
Oh. That school report, I mean, it was classic ADHD.
Yeah, yeah.
When I look back, you know, you could use it as evidence now.
Yes. I'm not like a really into makeup person.
Well, it's because you don't need it, darling.
Thank you.
That's a few friend points. Hi, everyone. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Nikki. I'm fine, thank you. Good to see you. It's been interesting. A few things have been sort of coming up on my radar, and I thought, oh, this would be a good thing to talk to you about. And it's, I guess, in a way, it's around paradox. There are so many contradictions that are at the heart of, well, humanity anyway. But I think when you're ADHD, and especially if you have a healthy bit of or DHD thrown in there as well, there's a lot of sort of push and pull going on at the same time. And I've really noticed one around decision making and detail.
Mm.
So I was in Boots the other day. I had to get some new makeup because the tinted moisturiser that I tend to wear had run out. So I was like, right, I'll buy some more. And in my head, I thought, oh, maybe I'll look for something different to the normal one I get. You know, I like a bit of variety, I like a bit of change, something new. And I got into the shop and there is so much choice, just so much. Different brands, different coverage, different thickness, different tones and shades and everything else. And I stood there and I just couldn't make a decision. And in the end, I just went to one section where there was something specific that I knew I wanted to get and looked up and saw one. I thought that will do, got it, went to another section and they had some different ones. And I started looking at them because they had a 3 for 2 offer on. And I was like, oh, maybe I need the 3. And then I just thought, I had a little panic and just thought, just stick with the ones you've got because I can't go down this path. I can't choose anything else.
Yeah.
And it made me really think about how, A, I'm trying to be much more aware of, I think, of my ADHD and the things that I find difficult to come from a more honest with myself perspective.
Mm.
Spot the person who's trained to be a psychotherapist now, because this is literally everything.
Yes, but it's part of your journey.
Yes. Why do I react like that? Yeah, so there's an element of that. What was I saying?
Oh, well, too much choice.
too much choice. La, 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 la. So I was thinking about this overwhelm. There was so much choice that I couldn't deal with that. And thinking, actually, yeah, that's it. I'm trying to be more honest about things that I find difficult with my ADHD. And I think being honest, this is one of them. Because I actually really struggle with choice, which I know we've touched on before, but I think it's almost a bit deeper than that because it's about detail.
Mm.
I struggle with detail unless I am interested in it or I'm creating something and then I'm happy with the detail. But they both have a way of overwhelming me. And I think there's a link between them that in a way detail, whilst on the surface being the opposite of everything, they have the same effect on me. They both seem to open up so many possibilities. So, for example, if I said, I'm going to have you round for a meal, and you said, thank you very much, and I know that you have certain intolerances, so I would make something according to that. But if you then came back to me and started talking about what temperature is the food going to be and what colour plate will it be on and do you need to be able to stand or sit or, you know, how long will it take me to eat it? And all those sorts of things. I'm just talking about a hypothetical and it starts annoying me.
I'm getting annoyed.
Yeah. And that sort of level of detail really, really annoys me. And I don't know whether it's because it opens up these possibilities of time, temperature, it's almost like having other sort of subdivisions and subcategories that I hadn't thought of. Mm. I don't know, but they both have quite a sort of paralyzing effect on me. Too much choice of a product being, irritating, but more overwhelming. So when I was having downstairs painted, or my bedroom painted even, you know, I know people who choose so many different paint pots and do, and I'm like, I think I like that one. Put it on the wall. Do I like it? Yes, I'll go for it. And my decorator's like, well, don't you want to try loads of others? And I was thinking, do I come from a perspective of, I have chosen one thing. Does it do what I want it to do? Yes, no. Do I like it? Yes, no. Great. Because if I open it up to loads of other things, how do you then choose, of all the things that you might like that do the job, how do you choose which is the one? And that's when I go.
So, of course, I've got 15 thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. The word that I found interesting is it annoys me.
Yeah.
I'm taken back to whichever episode it was where you said, how dare you ask me out for coffee to your friends when you're feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah.
And I think it was just before we took our break, or our first of two breaks, and there was just too much going on.
Mm.
And the thing that I found that was really interesting was you said when they asked you, would you like to come for a coffee meetup next week or something? And you went, and you were angry. And I said, who are you angry with? And you said, them. I was, for asking, how very dare they? And you said, yes. Mm. And we all know this is not rational. This is an emotional response. So it sounds like the same thing here is that you go to what you and I know is an important but superficial emotion because it's covering up something underneath. So anger generally, not always, I guess, but anger, annoyance, frustration, all those things are top level go-to emotions that actually help us feel powerful and give us ability to act. And you and I are both very strong on acting on things.
Right.
And as we said in the last one, when I didn't know what to do, that was really disempowering for me. I didn't say that, but that was what I meant, because it was like, it's 50-50. I don't know what to do. I don't know enough, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And my frustration was evident then. I was sort of vacillating between frustration and vulnerable inactivity.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of freeze state. Well, I don't know what to do, help. And it sounds like there's an element of this with your makeup, and I'm not laughing at it because I do get it, and I'm sure many of our listeners do, which is, we are easily overwhelmed with choice with ADHD wiring.
Mm.
And I think it's back to this horizontal thing that we have, whereas many people think in vertical hierarchies. Mm. So this is better than this, which is more appropriate than this, and blah, 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 blah. And then you get to the one at the top is the one you go for, or the bottom, whichever you choose. But for us, everything's on a sort of a level playing field, as we say in the UK. And it's kind of, everything's equally important. So me, when I was faced with a menu and I could eat what I liked, I just didn't know. So a bit like you with the colours, I would just choose something. Mm. Or I'd wait until the waiter came up to take the order. And then I would just, something would come out of my mouth as to what I was going to have, because I couldn't decide.
Yeah.
So the pressure of the moment of them standing there with their pen and their little pad waiting for my order and everybody looking at me because I was the last one.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll have the fish, or I'll have whatever it is. And whereas now, as we know, in a lucky position of not being able to have very many things on the menu. So it's cut down to one or two things and I just choose.
Yes.
In fact, quite often it's just one thing. Not that I go into the temperature.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's that going on. And I think that paralyzing situation or feeling is because we really don't know.
Mm.
Oh, I wonder if it's to do with stimulation. Because when I look at a menu, I actually imagine what the thing's going to taste like or smell like or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not just reading the thing there. I'm actually going into a little story.
Does my mouth fancy that in it?
Yes.
Yes.
And I don't know, everybody might do that, but I'm not sure they do.
Yeah.
And I think because we're generally imaginative, and not everybody is, but generally creative, imaginative people, and we can see into the future with alarming clarity sometimes, we're kind of projecting into what it's going to be like. And if we're doing that for 12 things on a menu or 24 or whatever, that takes time and energy and, oh my God, and I don't know. And is that one better than that one? I don't know. And is that a bit like the makeup?
Yeah. I wonder if there's a part of it that is, you know, I sort of feel maybe out of my depth with something like makeup because I'm not like a really into makeup person. I'm not someone who knows.
Well, it's because you don't need it, darling.
Thank you. You only think that because I wear good makeup.
That's a few friend points.
It's, I don't know a lot about makeup. So when they have sort of, I don't know, people say about BB cream or something like that, I don't know what that is. I'm it's not something I'm terribly interested in. So I like it if somebody can just say to me, that's good, wear that. So for example, there's a concealer. Mm. And one of our friends who is a makeup artist said, oh, this one's meant to be really good. Brilliant. I will get that because somebody's told me it's good and that works. And that sort of thing is really helpful for me because otherwise I'm in this world where I think, I don't know. And how, maybe it's that there aren't any criteria to hang it on. I just don't know how to make that decision. Whereas at least with food, you have got a, do I want to put this in my mouth? There is something.
Yes.
It's like when you go and have, you know, you have your kitchen or an extension done. There are so many questions.
And don't go back to builders.
Yeah. This is where it links to detail.
Yes.
When we had our kitchen done and they say things like, now, would you like such and such millimetre work surfaces or such and such millimetre work surfaces?
Yes.
And would you like a sink that has the taps like this or like this? Or would you like your plugs here and here? And I just think, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Oh, but if you don't give a shit, that's different from, oh my God, I don't know and I've got to make a decision. Is it? Is it? Doesn't?
Well, I think, yes, actually, what you say is the first thing I think. Yeah. Oh my God, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so then I just think, how wrong can I get it? And then I say, what would you do? And they go, I'd have this millimetre, my sink like this, and I put my power sockets there. And I go, do that then.
Oh, okay. So I've got an instant parallel with coaching when I'm working with people, and I suspect when you are, is that, I don't know about you, but sometimes I use bold statements to help people realise what they do or they don't want. And I sometimes use my own experiences because they're confidentiality free, they're mine. And I do check in with myself. Is this useful for the client potentially? And you know what? Pretty much always it is useful because they either resonate with what I've said.
Yeah.
Or they don't.
Yeah.
Knowing what you don't want is as useful as knowing what you do. And so asking somebody what they'd want, and I do this quite often with doctors and vets and other people like that. What would you do if it were your cat or your body or your daughter or whoever?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they say, oh, I couldn't possibly say, but sometimes they actually say, well, if it were me, I would do this. And then I sort of get a sense of, oh, no, I don't really. And I'd ask them why, whatever. But it's information gathering. And that does go back to the last episode, which was that the information gathering I ended up with was not about perps and all that and verges. It was actually about how I wanted to feel at the end of the process. And projecting into the future, like I was mentioning earlier, it's knowing myself well enough to know, A, if it mattered, and B, what I wanted out of the situation. So with your makeup, how much does it matter which one you pick?
No, it doesn't really.
And how much do you care?
Yeah, but then even with things like roofs or decorating or my kitchen extension, there must be times when I've had to live with things that I just think I should have thought about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that definitely, definitely has happened.
Yeah.
Because it's like I have a cutoff point. And maybe it's actually just a processing issue. I just have a cutoff point of like saturation. I cannot sustain any more information. I don't know. It's a funny one. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's everybody on different degrees.
No, I don't think it's you.
It's just that level of detail sometimes. blows my mind. And like I said, it simultaneously makes me feel overwhelmed. Sometimes I could just go, ah, doesn't matter. But other times it does make me feel quite angry, depending on the context, or irritated.
Yes. So slipping into coaching type questions, that angry feeling, the obvious question is, does that trigger any thoughts of something that happened a long time ago when you didn't quite get a decision right? Or
no, I don't. Not obviously, no.
Because it's interesting, and and I said at the time when you said about your friends in the coffee and you were angry with them, I said, that's really interesting. I didn't want you to feel like an insect on a pin. That wasn't what I meant, but it is interesting because, okay, so if it were me and somebody said that and I was already stressed, anger isn't, I don't think, generally what I would feel. I might feel frustrated, which is sort of angry, but frustrated that I couldn't do it or I couldn't fit it in. Or I might feel panicky.
Yes.
Or what else might I feel? Disappointed because I'd want to go and join them and I couldn't. Or sad or something in that sphere. So somewhere between panic and sad. But I don't think I'd feel angry. And you're very definite that you're angry and annoyed. That's why I wondered if there was something.
I think when you said panicky, that resonates a bit. There's definitely a bit of panic in it.
Do you feel on the spot, even if it's only you putting yourself on the spot?
Do I feel on the spot? I don't think so. I think it is. If I think of that situation, say, with friends.
Yes.
Which, you know, if for anybody who hasn't listened to the previous podcast, I was aware that it's an irrational response.
Yes.
So I was bringing it up as I know when I'm overwhelmed, when somebody says, do you want to go for a coffee? And I feel angry and think, don't you know how much I have to do feeling? And then I'm like, ooh, I need to adjust. No, if I think about it, it's like a malfunction. I can't describe it any other way.
Malfunction.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Say my brain is just sort of going, I'm doing my finger in a nice wavy line that's just going along like a heartbeat, you know, that's my brain going along. And somebody says, do you want to go out for a coffee? And it stops and then goes
boing
and sort of all over the place, scribble, scribble, scribble. It can't take it in. So maybe actually it's a feeling out of control.
I wondered about that. My next question, I've written FNF, fight and flight response. That you might be feeling as anger, but this is interesting what you said, that you sort of resonated with the panic.
Yeah, and it is a sort of, yes, actually, I think you're right. I think it is quite a fight or flight because it is quite a, get it away.
Do you want to run away or do you want it to run away? Makeup, you're standing at the makeup.
Yeah, both. It would depend, probably in different situations.
Okay, so you've gone into the shop, you're faced with all this choice, you're standing there and you're looking at all this stuff.
I just sort of feel, ugh, and I get away from it.
Yeah, so you're pushing it away with your hands.
Yes.
For the listeners, you're leaning to one side and pushing away with your hands in the other direction.
Yeah.
So it's a get away from, so that's fight and flight, isn't it?
Yes, I think it's not a fight. I don't feel like I want to go and attack.
Beat the makeup.
I don't want to beat the makeup. I don't want to beat up my friends.
No.
I just want to be away from it. Get it away.
That's reassuring, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in case I have the temerity to ever ask you to meet up for a coffee.
Can I punch you?
That's exactly. Can I just send you a WhatsApp and say, how calm are you today? Before I ask you the next question.
God, I sound like such a horrible person.
No, you're not at all. You're lovely. I would be sitting here. I think anybody who's listened to the last 20-odd episodes knows you're not a horrible person. So I think we found out that that's the panic, fight and flight underneath the irritation and the annoyance. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah. And it's probably the same with that level of detail.
Yes. Is it? Okay, so as you know, I love a bit of detail in some areas where I feel competent.
Yes.
Or at least I feel I have a chance to become competent.
Yeah.
So like starting the podcast where I knew a little bit about things, but there was a massive mountain in front of me.
Yeah.
But because I was interested in it, I ploughed through reams of detail because I had the pull of doing the podcast and I wanted the outcome. So I was prepared to put myself through the torture.
Yes.
And some of it was very interesting and some of it was frankly not, but it was all useful. So when I'm interested, I love a bit of detail. When I'm not interested, it feels either boring, potentially in the future, near or otherwise, or it feels scary because I don't feel equipped. And actually, I know I'm finding it boring, even thinking about it. And if I'm finding it boring, I know it's going to be A, turgid to get through, and B, involve scary things and having to push through to get to the end. And obvious things are doing your accounts.
Yeah.
Just that kind of thing. Taxes, were the things we've talked about before.
Like boring admin tasks.
Yes. Paperwork is my favourite thing.
Yeah.
I nearly mentioned this in the last episode. It's just come into my mind. Let's find out why. I have school reports that when my mum died, I found in a drawer from when I was about 8 and also when I was about 13. And satisfactory could try harder was the old classic thing.
Snap.
Apart from music, interestingly, and art.
Yes.
But the academic subjects, it was very much, if only Nikki could apply herself, because in those days they were allowed to say things like this.
Yes.
She could achieve quite good results. Quite good results, it said. I remember that. And I can't remember if that was maths or history or something. Maths was never my friend, but I managed to pass somehow. But that school report, I mean, it was classic ADHD.
Yeah, yeah.
When I look back, you know, you could use it as evidence now.
Yes.
This child has signs of ADHD, because the more I focused on things I was interested in, so for my O-levels, I did the usual array of stuff and sort of worked, I may have said this before, but worked reasonably, mainly because my father made me. A-levels, I was much more interested in English, history and art, and I worked pretty hard. And then for my degree, my God, I worked hard. Because I was interested. It was graphics. It was something I was passionate about. And illustration. So the detail of, oh, I don't know, Henry VIII and the dissolution of the monasteries. Discuss. That really was not interesting. I could do it, but it didn't interest me much. Some of the things did in history, but that didn't. Mm. But when I got to history of art and actually application of art, graphics, my God, that was interesting.
Mm.
So I just worked till 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning and just keep working.
Mm.
Because I wanted the end result, but also, and I wanted to do well, but actually I was just interested. I was pulled in, and that detail fascinated me as opposed to repelling me.
Yes. And it's funny, you see, I'm almost the opposite of that. I quite enjoyed O-levels because I quite like having a superficial bit of knowledge about lots of things.
Sorry, can I just say, for younger listeners and those outside the UK, O-levels are when you're about 16 and A-levels are when you're about 18. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, it's okay. So I really enjoyed doing the sort of generalist approach, you know, bit of history, bit of science, bit of this, bit of that, bit of the other. A-levels were okay, because you go into a bit more detail. Degree, I found torturous, but it could be because I wasn't as interested in the subject that I was studying at university as I should have been to study it.
Ah, but you said in the last episode, because we touched on this, that when you did your postgrad, you were really interested.
Teaching, I did enjoy.
Yeah. Was that because it was applied, as it were?
Yeah, I think so. It had a purpose. It was practical and all the rest of it. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying the course I'm doing now.
Mm.
That's very detailed and I'm really enjoying it. Sometimes my brain gets a bit like, but I'm motivated, which I think makes the difference. Mm. So that level of detail doesn't bother me. And maybe it's a control thing as well. It's interesting you brought up about the podcast, because this is a really good example, actually, isn't it? Because you were saying about how when you started and you were so brilliant. I mean, you got us to where we are with the sort of technical know-how and all the rest of it.
Can I just say, with the kickstart from a friend of ours, but yes.
Yes, yes.
I picked up the baton and moved on. Yep.
Absolutely. And we're really, you know, with the editing and the recording and the sound quality and everything else. I, on the other hand, really struggled with the level of detail. And we've talked about this between us, that you went into, because you were so particular about the sound quality and how we recorded it and what devices we used and everything else.
Mm.
And I found that really difficult to deal with. Mm. And I, as I said, we talked about it at the time. And I said, I really struggle with my response to it because I find it really irritating.
Yeah.
Because I just want to get on with it. But I acknowledge that you are right to do it. So I know this is a me issue. And it's the same sort of thing. It is this panicky, too much, get away from it feeling.
Okay.
And it's the same with, like, if I'm trying to, and this is just an example, but say I was trying to organise something at Chorus, and I guess it's sort of that I think this is organised, and then say somebody starts going, oh, we could do it like this, or what if we do this, or what if we do this, and it becomes so complicated, it seems unnecessary. That's the sort of thing that I get really about and want to get away from.
Is it a sort of a feeling of it being unfocused, or the focus being split in too many directions?
Yeah, maybe. That's an interesting one. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so I've written down two things that you just said. Well, several, but these are the two. I've written down window of tolerance, which, as we know, is a psychological term, but it's what it sounds like. So if somebody's got a window of tolerance when we're working with people with emotional things they're trying to work through, you have an opportunity to help them step into it a little bit and then step out again before they get overwhelmed, and then step into it and then step out of it. And so that's, if you like, the window of tolerance. And with time and care, that window of tolerance can expand. So there's that. And you also said, I just want to get on with it. So is that impatience?
I think there is. I think there is an impatience, definitely.
And is that because you actually want to get to do the thing? And obviously it's going to be context dependent, but it seems to me it could be about wanting to do the thing or just to get the damn thing done so you don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, Nikki. And I think that's a big part of it. It's let's just do it.
With an F in it. Let's just effing do it.
Yes. Look, oh, fucking hell, just do it.
Oh, that reminds me of our podcast conversation where you sat there the whole time when I was telling you all the ins and outs of starting the podcast. And then I said, do you want to do it? And you said, yes. Sorry, I have said this in a previous podcast, which is in case somebody hasn't listened. And you said, I was just sitting there the whole time listening to you thinking, just bloody do it. Yes. And I get that too.
Yeah.
I get it with myself. And I guess with the famous roof story from last time, I get it with myself. And I've actually written down something, a conversation you and I had at Chorus a couple of weeks ago when I said I was editing it. Oh, no, it was last week. And I said, I've sent you the dialogue to listen to. I've edited it so it flows and we got rid of all the ums and ahs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said, because I'm in the minutiae of it for so long and slicing bits out and moving bits across and just making it flow better so that people listening don't have to work quite as hard and it makes sense and all those things that you can do, which I like. It's a creative process, but I'm steeped in it for 2 or 3 days, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just ask Lib.
Yes. Yeah.
So I get into the weeds of it by definition. I'm living with it. And when I came out of it, I thought, oh, God, is that...
Yeah.
Is it going to be really boring? And I said to you, I'm worried it's going to be boring because it's all about roofing. And actually, when you listen to it, it's not.
No.
It's not about roofing at all. It's about feeling overwhelmed and your comment about the neighbour and people pleasing and all the other stuff. And actually, when I listened back to it freshly, after I'd said that to you the next day or something to make sure there were no glitches and things, and I thought, actually, it's fine. That's really interesting. And I'd already heard it all, but because I was stuck in all the detail, I couldn't get the overview. Whereas listening to it again, it was interesting.
Mm.
And that was quite, it's not quite pivotal, but it was a useful lesson for me to step back and see it again. And I wonder if there's anything in that to do with this overwhelm.
Well, I think you're right, that impatience. I just want to get on and do things. And I think that probably is that ADHD driver.
The motor, Gary.
Yes, absolutely. The motor going, the impulsiveness, the let's just do it. You know, even with my business, I find it really difficult. When I started my business, people get business coaches and they sit down and it's like, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? I don't know. I don't know where I want to be in 5 years' time.
Exactly.
If I decide now, that's a complete waste of time because I will have changed my mind seven times before that happens. So for me, it's like, what do I feel like doing today? And that is not business advice.
Yes, anybody out there listening who is setting up a business, yeah, what do I feel like doing today? No, actually, that's not as daft as it sounds. It's not, because as ADHDers, we do have to do things like taxes and all that.
Yeah.
But as we just said earlier, we're at our finest when something feels effortless. Mm. Other people might find really difficult, but because it's pulling us, we can get mountains of stuff done. Mm. And if we can, who's it? I Have ADHD, Kristen Carter podcast. I remember listening to one of hers a while back. And it was about when she started her podcast, she was trying to do everything herself and she couldn't get stuff done. I'm paraphrasing here, but it was along the lines of, I just found it so hard, some of the stuff, but I felt I should do it myself. And she said, when I got to a certain level, which was actually before I thought I could afford it, I outsourced it, which left me to do the bits that I'm good at, frankly, that I enjoy and I'm good at. Mm. And there is a lesson in there.
Yes.
So it's not, I know we were laughing, but it's not as daft as it sounds.
Yeah. And also that idea of imperfect action.
Yes.
That I guess there's people who are real perfectionists and they can't let go of things until they think it's done. Whereas I'm a bit more of a, don't get me wrong, I like things to be good. It matters to me that things are... Mm. But if it's holding me up from the doing, I'd rather just do it. Mm. I'm giving a talk in a couple of weeks' time and I booked the place, advertised and everything before I'd written it or anything else because I know that I will. But at that moment, I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to do it. I've got a rough idea. Go for it. And then I fill in all the detail afterwards.
Which is brilliant.
Is it going to be perfect? No. But I'm all right with learning from that and sort of going.
Hold on. I seem to remember, I don't know, a year ago or so, you did one of the, I think it was the first one you did or you had done. And somehow we arrived at, I was going to come along. You said, if you want to, I said, yeah, I'd love to. Mm. So I went along. So I observed this and it was the night before and we'd had a conversation about you hadn't actually written it yet. Mm. And I know from working with you previously, when we coached each other, I know that you are brilliant at seat of pants stuff.
Yeah.
And many ADHDs are, actually including me as well.
Yeah.
Because the fear of the deadline trumps the fear of the potential boredom or overwhelm or whatever it is. Mm. And so I remember you did a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you.
In the 12 hours between you saying to me, should you want to come along, and me actually arriving or whatever it was, somehow miraculously it materialised. And to be honest, even if you hadn't prepared, it still would have been brilliant because that is one of your fortes.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember saying something to you about when you said, oh, well, I just wing things. Mm. And I said, that sounds like a strength to me that you can do that. Most people can't. Mm. And you went, oh.
I have planned this one, I'd like to just say.
Well, this won't be out until after it's been, so.
I have grown as a person.
I could reliably tell you that this will not be out before.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, though. So I think going back to this paradox of decision making and detail and overwhelm, if I'm standing in that shop looking at everything and thinking, oh, God, it's not even a worry that I'll buy the wrong one. It's a frustration with the process that I just want to get on with it, I think, actually. Yeah.
OK, so to refine that, is it because you want to get on with something else that might have more pull? Because there's always something else.
No, I think I just want to have made a decision.
Okay, so is it frustration with yourself?
No, it's a frustration that there is so much of it there. Maybe, I don't know, I feel I should consider more things than I do and therefore...
Mm. Is there a should going on there?
I don't consciously think, but there could be some sort of unconscious process going on there, which I will... look into.
But what's the worst that will happen?
Nothing. If I buy the wrong makeup, nothing.
It'll be annoying.
But no more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, God, if I beat myself up about regrettable purchases, Nikki.
Yeah.
You're talking to the woman who has a stand-up paddleboard sitting in and out of a... checkout trolley almost weekly.
Oh, no, but it's still in there. Oh, has it ever been ordered and another one arrived?
No. I keep thinking, yeah.
Well, there you are, you see. That's control.
Yeah.
That's control. So you're already doing it.
Yeah. But no, it doesn't matter. I don't beat myself up about it. I just, yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Well, I think we've established that it's a panicky feeling. It's a getting away from feeling. There's too much. I do wonder if it's your window of tolerance. And your window of tolerance is much bigger, for instance, for your course. Mm. You have a massive window of tolerance, otherwise you wouldn't be doing the master's.
Yes.
And you did talk to me about it a while back. Mm. So this is not something that you've rushed into. You've thought about it.
Mm.
You just want to get on with it.
Well, you see, that's interesting, though. I thought about it when I mentioned it to you, because I said, oh, I'm doing this introductory course, because I kind of toyed with the idea of doing a master's, but I won't. I can't see me doing, you know, it was pretty discounted.
Yeah.
And actually, when I did the weekend and was like, yes, I want to do that, signed up, bought, yeah, I'm in.
Mm.
And so it was almost quite an impulsive. Now, a lot of people who I talked to, they said, oh, I researched all the different places where they did the course and la 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 la. And that's great. And I was just like, oh, they do it here. Read the course. I like the look of that. Let's do it. I haven't looked at any other courses.
You have just summed up exactly why I did my coaching course with the Coaching Academy that we both trained with.
Right.
That was exactly it. Mm. And I wrote on the top of my brochure, because in those days it was a 2-day free course up in London.
Mm.
And I wrote on the top of the brochure, too structured for me. I've still got it. And it's quite interesting. And I did it because it's structured,
mm.
because I'm a wiggly intuitive kind of coach. And, mm. and I thought the structure would be useful.
Yeah.
Like the school I went to was very academic and that was useful.
Mm.
I didn't thrive particularly in the creative side, but I already had that in me.
Mm.
So the academic side sort of filled in the gaps.
Yeah.
And so the Coaching Academy course, I didn't go and look at other ones.
No.
And I think, okay, do you value your intuition?
Yes.
Yes. So do I. And if push comes to shove, it's a fine line between intuition sometimes and knowing what your emotions are going to be. And so our famous Ruth's thing, at the end of the day, the decision for me was actually easy once I realized that I couldn't make a decision rationally.
Mm-hmm.
It was to, what's the emotional outcome? How do I want to feel at the end of all this? And it's more important for me to feel safe, in effect, by having it done.
Mm.
Because then I won't have the uncertainty and I won't be kicking myself if I get it wrong.
Yeah.
At least it'll have a positive benefit. And as it was, as we know, it did need to. So with your course, some people maybe aren't blessed with that intuition or that knowing about themselves.
Mm.
And I think that knowing leads to confidence. Speaking for me, because I can't speak for you, obviously. When I'm coaching and working with people, I go into hyper-focus and I concentrate in a way that I would never have believed earlier in my life. And it's knowing that these questions, sometimes seemingly weird questions that come into my head, they just will lead somewhere useful.
Yeah.
And I don't even question them now. I might say, I have no idea why I'm asking this, but let's do it and see and be curious. And that leads to confidence. And so once I knew about my intuition or my emotions or whatever it was to do with the roof, I got that calm, settled feeling once I realised what was going on. And then I could just make the decision without any worrying. And I don't know if there's anything in all of that. I'm just building on what you said about the course you're doing.
Yeah.
Was that the same for you with the coaching course?
Yes.
Or did you look at lots?
No.
Don't be silly.
I asked you. You said I'd do it with the Coaching Academy. I was like, oh, I'll do that then.
Yeah, we were standing in the churchyard in COVID singing.
We were.
I remember that.
Yes. And I looked it up and thought, yes, this covers everything I need to do.
Yeah.
Why would I look at anything else?
Well, exactly. It made sense rationally as well. It had the provenance and it had all this stuff and it was in the UK, not in America. It was the other one I was looking at.
Yes. You know, you do your basic due diligence. Yeah. And I think that's as far as I got with this course that I'm doing now. It is here. I am interested in it. I mean, I didn't answer all the sort of probably quite useful questions like, can I afford to pay for this for 4 years? But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yes. But will you be able to afford it somehow?
Somehow, we'll make it work.
Exactly.
Who needs to eat, Nikki, you know?
So if you turn up on the doorstep with a begging bowl,
yes.
I will give you some gruel.
Thank you.
Or at least some nice soup.
Lovely.
It will be gluten-free, I'm afraid, but you know.
Perfect, perfect. And I won't ask you how hot it will be or how long it will take to eat it.
Yes, I'm sorry. What temperature would you like it to be?
I feel that maybe we've sort of rambled down a little pathway in my mind today rather than... So I hope this is useful for other people. But I think there is quite a thing around detail versus action versus decision-making that can be impulsive or paralyzing. paralyzed.
Yes.
And that's what I meant by those paradoxes. We have all of those within us that come up at different times.
Well, dear, as if I know him, Ned Halliwell says things like creativity is distraction gone right.
Mm.
And the list of challenges and strengths and so on that I give out to people to help them not self-diagnose, but at least get an idea of whether they might be in the ADHD world, doesn't rule out all the other things like OCD or bipolar or anything like that. But they are specifically ADHD characteristics. If you look at the challenges and the strengths, the flip sides are the same thing.
Mm.
So as I say, creativity can be distraction gone right, or spontaneity versus impulsivity.
Mm.
Now, you could say you were impulsive booking your course.
Mm.
From where I'm sitting, I don't think so.
Mm.
I don't think so. I think you just knew it was the right one. And is it so awful that you're deciding not to do it anymore and you want your money back?
No. But I'm very attuned to waiting for that slightly sick feeling to come after making decisions.
Oh.
Because I have made impulsive decisions and afterwards sort of thought, oh, God, was that...
When was the most recent one?
Or
a recent one?
I can't think of anyone now.
Mm, that's what I figured.
It was very much younger me would do things and then feel sick afterwards and think, oh, God, why have I said yes to that or signed up for that?
I think we've all done that, especially as ADHDers. Mm. And when we talk about this stuff, we're not excluding the rest of the world, but this is about ADHD and things that we resonate with.
Yeah.
And you and I have a large Venn diagram.
Mm.
And that feeling of, oh, I don't want that to happen again. No, I was, without wishing to open a can of worms, a small tangent, I was in America years ago and I bought a lens for my professional camera. And it was an extra lens that made things even better and blah, blah, blah. And it was in Fisherman's Wharf in a shop in San Francisco. And this guy swore blind that this thing was wonderful and blah, 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 blah. And I asked my partner at the time to double check while I went upstairs to get the credit card, to double check it was kosher. And for whatever reason, the answer was yes, but actually it wasn't.
Mm.
And I got back to the UK and realised that it was actually a pile of old rubbish.
Mm.
And I felt so stupid. Oh, we're back to stupid.
Yeah.
I felt stupid. I felt angry. I was kicking myself.
Mm.
I was, and I got some money back from America, which was really hard to do.
Mm.
And I was just not going to give up because it was my way of making myself feel better.
Yeah.
Or allowing myself to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that feeling of I've been defrauded was also, guess what, feeding into the roof situation. I've just realised.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that sick feeling and... feeling,
yeah,
is you know, when we've got a past experience, which is why I said earlier about is there a past experience.
Mm.
I know there was something else about paying some, again, roofers years ago when I was with my husband, and he was livid with me because I paid them before they'd finished because I had to go out, and of course they scarpered, they disappeared and didn't finish the roof, and he said, how could you be so stupid? Well, yeah, I was, but I learned, I thought.
Yes.
And so as we get older, we do eventually learn. Sometimes we learn things that aren't useful for ourselves in emotional terms, but very often, mostly, we refine things and we don't make the mistakes that we made when we were younger because they were so painful at the time. We don't want to repeat.
Mm.
So I think you know very well what's good for you.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Which is why you're a confident coach and will be whatever you're going to be.
Mm.
Psychotherapist?
Yes.
Excuse me while I doff my cap.
Doff away.
I am so full of respect for you for doing it. I like doing little courses. And as you know, I've just done one on suicide prevention, which was brilliant with the Human Givens Institute.
Mm.
A day course. And it's exactly what I want to be doing, is small things that I can put together. And I'm older than you are, so, you know. But I have huge respect for you for embarking on this latest thing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's quite the journey.
She said with very wide eyes.
It is. It's fascinating, but it's already barely into term one of it. You sort of realise how much you don't know.
Yes.
Which is interesting. I don't actually feel intimidated by that. But also...
Can I just say, precisely, you don't feel intimidated by that?
No, that's true.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Because I just... Yeah, there is that thirst to find out more, so... It's very interesting.
Yeah. So I've just gone back to, I've said to several people over the years about my favourite thing, paperwork. I've even done a hypnotherapy tape that I have about enjoying paperwork. Actually, it did help. It has helped. I'm not quite as averse to it as I used to be. But if I'd known how much paperwork there was on our coaching course, I don't think I'd have done it.
Oh, it was a lot, wasn't it?
I know I said, is this too structured or rigid for me? And actually, that's why I did it, because it is that course. But the amount of paperwork, the paperwork mountain, especially because I didn't start it, not just because I'm ADHD, but because my mum died and I had to deal with all of that to start with, bless her. Sorry, that sounds a bit churlish about my mum. I don't mean it that way. It just meant that there's a. I was the executor and I had to organise a funeral and everything else.
Yeah.
And obviously deal with emotions and everything else that was going on. And so I didn't start doing the paperwork for probably 4 months, but I was doing the coaching because that was a nice bit and I could just do that.
Yeah.
And so I had this mountain of stuff. Mm. So yes, if I'd known how much paperwork there was involved, I don't think I'd have done the course.
No.
But I started it because I was pulled in and I managed to do it. I did it. I found a way with my coaching buddy who's listening. Shout out to Sophie for being my coaching buddy and homework buddy. Yeah. And we used to do homework club where we'd get together for an hour and do 10 minutes of actually proper doing the paperwork at the end, but 50 minutes of chat, of course.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously. But then that would get me into it. And so we'd say goodbye or whatever. And then I'd just get on with it. And once I was in, I would do it. Mm. It was the fear of the boredom or whatever that was. Anyway, the point was, I got through it and I did it. And you will too, because you're pulled in here.
Mm.
And you did with the coaching too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you learn, don't you?
Mm.
I mean, I think I'm approaching this with I remember sitting on the coaching course thinking, flipping, like, I haven't got a clue what they're talking about. And I don't know what all this paperwork means. And I can't see the process in front of me. But I also know that I will work it out by the time I get there.
Yes.
So I'm not unduly worried about it. I'm just sort of keeping up with the reading and going to the lectures when I have to go to lectures. So,
just have one last thought about that.
Yes, go on.
I'm sitting here giggling to myself because the irony of the situation with the paperwork on the course is that I have worked with a number of coaches on the course now, helping them get through their paperwork.
Brilliant.
And letting them know what they're in for and what it all means and where to find things and all this stuff, because I believe in paying it back or forward or whatever it is.
Yes, yeah.
So the irony isn't lost on me.
No, but who better to help people through it than someone who found it hard?
Yeah.
It's like I was always brilliant at teaching maths because I found maths really, really difficult.
Mm.
So I had to unpick it and relearn it and find the ways through it.
Yes. And you have that understanding of the person you're talking to, the situation they're in.
Yes.
Obviously, they're not exactly the same, but you have that understanding of the feeling of about to overwhelm and,
yes,
you know, how do I do this and what do I do about that and what do I start with and, oh, look, decision making.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it actually in life. Would you be as good a coach if you, oh, and this is probably for another occasion, we won't start it now, but interesting, would you be as good a coach if you had just found everything in life really easy?
No.
And never had any challenges?
No.
No. There we go.
Well, this is the premise of this whole podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Two ADHD coaches figuring it out together.
Yes. Or not.
Or not. Anyway, hopefully we figured out something today. I think we have.
Yes.
No, we have. Yeah. Because, okay, so what have we figured out today? Just sum it up, because you're really good at this.
Well, I think we've summed up that there is a paradox that we all experience that is probably very personal, how we respond to it. But there can be different reasons for struggling with detail, struggling with decision making, and by contrast, being able to make very quick decisions and be impulsive about things. And yes, I think probably my takeaway from this is twofold. One is a personal one, which is just to sort of reflect more on that emotional response that I have to it, the fight or flight response, because there will be a cause of that somewhere, but I don't consciously know what it is yet. I can't remember the second takeaway. There was one.
Let me rescue you with a thought. Okay, so I've just written down trust. I've got to like this, so let me say that again. Trust. And just do it.
Yeah.
And to trust yourself, whether you're at the makeup counter or starting a course, a massive course, because from where I'm sitting, you do know.
Mm.
And actually, so do I. And it's knowing, what's the worst that's going to happen if we make a duff decision?
Mm-hmm.
I will just take that one. And if it's the wrong one, well, I'll buy another one. If it's only £2, it's not really, or $3 or whatever it is. it's not the end of the world, is it?
And also actually following on from that trust, relating it to coffee with friends and that same sort of overwhelmed feeling, is actually trust that my feelings are telling me something, which in that case is you're at capacity. You need to rein it in. So yeah, our bodies are always telling us something.
Aren't they just?
And if our bodies are going, this is too much, I need to get away, it probably doesn't matter. Because as you said, yeah, actually, that's a really good point, Nikki. At the point where I've had to make a decision, like for this course or everything, it has been a, right, I'm doing it. And it's been a good thing.
Yeah. And as a final.
Yes.
Perish the thought, we should carry on longer than we intended by 15 minutes. When we started this conversation today, I had no idea what we're going to be talking about. We've got some things on our podcast, WhatsApp, that we throw ideas onto. And at one point we just sort of went, because we weren't quite sure that everything tied up and made some sort of sense. And we'd been talking for about 5 minutes and you just said, oh, should we just do it? And I went, yeah, let's just start, because it's like, will we be able to think of anything to talk about?
And we did.
What we seem to have done.
Whether it went anywhere is for our listeners to decide.
Well, no, it went somewhere, but whether it went somewhere useful and interesting. Anyway, hopefully I'll have the same thing when I listen back after I've edited it as I did last time, which is, oh yeah, actually that was interesting.
Yes.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Nikki.
Bye. Bye for now. Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theADHD_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.